Hello, I'm Gavin Ortwee.
Probin in Japan and lost himself. What's good?
It's Marcus. And he's really and retired, man. He couldn't even do the intro. Shit.
What just happened?
Damn.
My name is Charles. Greetings.
I was trying to be cheerful.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's gonna be all whimsical.
It's Taz or Matt. What is this? Talk about bots.
Hello.
I had to do the NPC greeting.
We really are. I love that we ran with that, by the way. I was just about to be like, we're so happy to have Gavin back, but I think you blew it right there. I think that's it. Welcome back, I guess. We are happy to have you back. You guys obviously out there, listeners, don't know about our pre-show talks, but Gavin really is he just simplifies things. He's like, all right, guys, here's what we should talk about. Because, you know, me, Marcus, and Charles are all yappers, and we want to talk about what we want to talk about. Gavin's like, how about this? We're like, okay, he's the boss. So it's good to have Gav back. Not sure what we're going to talk about today. Not a lot has happened since you've been gone, Gavin. So,
yeah, it's kind of been whatever.
Boring news week.
Recording. Yeah.
We're going to talk about Gavin. We're going to talk about everything Ultimate that's gone on. Big Japan trip, you coming back. We obviously covered a lot of the results from the Japanese tournaments, but obviously, as it is with Tweak Talks, having people on the ground there and really talking about the tournament itself, the vibes, you know, whether it's me and Charles as casters, Marcus when he goes to a tournament every once in a while, or you obviously as a competitor. Especially because this is some of your last tournaments as an Ultimate competitor, so to speak. So it'd be great to get your experience in all those. But how's everyone doing? We're going to start with Gav. Gav, how you doing, man? Welcome back. It is good to have you back.
Good. Travel back was brutal. I went from Fukuoka to Tokyo, Tokyo to Dallas, Dallas to Philly. Had a 3-hour delay in Dallas as well. There were children puking on the plane and people coughing, and I'm very sick. I'm still sick. I've been back for like a while, like a week, and I'm still sick. As honestly, a lot of people were telling me they kind of expected that to happen, knowing me. But yeah, I'm good. I had a couple really chill streams. The weather is starting to clear up here. It was pretty rainy for a few days, but it's really nice now. B and I are really excited for the Switch 2. Tiny's doing a lot better. She was doing really, really bad while I was gone, which was stressful. But she's doing pretty good right now. Yeah, not much, honestly. I've just been kind of boring.
I like how you looked at your phone and you were trying to get like a X amount of days or something like that. And you're like, a while.
It was just because it was longer than I thought.
Time differences.
I got home on like the 13th or 14th and it's the 19th. And I'm like, damn, I'm still sick.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Probably COVID or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe. Why not?
If it's this obnoxious.
You do a test? Yeah. There's an easy way to figure this out.
Nah.
Perfect. or we could leave it up to speculation.
I mean, I haven't left my house.
It's I was okay. going to say, I guess
Big
this doesn't
Gav is back.
Right now. No, Big Gav is back.
Big Gav knows the drill. Stay home. Get some rest.
How's it going, Charles? There's just no way y'all didn't get mixed by that.
Oh, I knew.
I didn't.
You
yeah.
did not know.
Ain't no way you knew.
I did not know.
There's no way you didn't get me.
So yesterday, just a side quest story real quick. Yesterday, I was at work. I had to go to the Waianae dump to just dump trash or whatever. And a little kid walked up to me and called me Unk. It was a lot of life point damage I took. So yeah, that was...
Excellent. No, I mean, you were driving to the dump, dude. That's like an Unk exclusive activity.
That is an Unk exclusive activity. Yeah. So that hurt a bit, but it is what it is. And Gavin might have to call you Unk now, man. You're retired. Unk talks, man.
True. Welcome.
Yeah. You can join our podcast now.
But yeah, I had a pretty good week. I was a bit sad last week because my favorite player retired from the game, but it's okay.
Wait, Barris retired? I thought it was just Gavin.
Obviously, I have a lot of ties to like Gavin and competing, so yeah. Emotionally, it was pretty rough for me. But I think I am more of a friend than a fan to Gavin. So like whatever is best for him is like the best thing. So yeah, I mean, other than that, just work has been going good. Last week was actually crazy crunch time. I had to do like a 15-hour shift or something like that because it was just tenants were coming in and stuff like that. So a lot of work last week, but a lot less work this week. And I'm kind of front loading the amount of work I'm doing just so since I'm going to MomoCon and I'm leaving Thursday. So kind of just front loading some work. It reminds me of when I did a lot of YouTube work, like video editing and stuff. I would front load videos and like schedule them and then go out and travel and stuff. Kind of like reminds me of that. So yeah, I mean, work's been doing good and all that stuff, staying on schedule. What about you, Pink?
Okay, I was like, bro, if it's twice in a row, I'm actually giga mixed. Like that would have been next level. What?
And then I started the episode without asking you. Like, what? Dang,
I got no mix. Unk got no mix, bro. Shit.
Oh, no.
Unk's got no mix.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly normal stuff. Life's good. that's my... anyway, life's good. Psalm's birthday is in 11 days. So wow. That is really exciting. I know. I guess by the time people are hearing this, it will be 9 days. So he's going to be 2, which is really exciting. And it's funny because for his first birthday party, we went like crazy. We bought all this stuff. We invited a bunch of people. And after the party... we were like, we're not doing this again next year. Fast forward a year.
Nope.
Stace is over here. Yeah, I think we should get this and we should buy this and we should do this. And I'm like, not again. Like, how is this happening? So Here we go. Another fun birthday party is for the kid. They say that won't remember it. Like, it's for her.
Hey,
anyway.
Well, that's why you get video recording.
But I mean, obviously.
Pictures are eternal, man.
That's true. Still,
yeah, like, those are important. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I'll have the videos, the pictures. I have, like, 2,000-something on my phone of him. Yes, my guy. So.
Bro, pictures.
Yeah, that's exciting. And then, life update, because I definitely keep mentioning it. I do have a job. I am employed now. I start on June 2nd. And the funny thing about it is, I guess before everyone found out, Haz would be one of the first people to know, because I definitely use bro as a reference.
True.
I had this thought. I was like, who is the most professional person I know?
That's scary as fuck, but W, I guess.
Wait, what? You're pretty important at your job, or that's what you said. I mean, that's...
Well,
are you?
He is.
That's another Unk alert, is when you get asked to be a reference, man. That's another thing that makes me feel old. But it's like a compliment, but damn, like Unk at the same time, you know?
Yeah. No one's asked me that. I wonder why.
Oh, see, you're...
I'll put you down.
All right. For our next job applications, we'll all put Gavin as a reference.
This will be Patreon bonus content.
Yeah.
So what experience does this reference have?
That does this tweak have?
Yeah. So that's life. People are probably like, "Has this a reference?" Or like, "What is y'all like work relationship?" Hello. Podcast 4 years.
Podcast, ooh, man.
Yeah.
Four years.
He's been doing it for 4 years, no?
What?
Almost shut episode 200.
That's so crazy. God, that hurt me. That was just like the Unk scenario.
I've moved twice since we started doing this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, the easy math is we're almost at episode 200. There's 52 weeks in a year. So yeah, that's almost four years. Yeah.
And it's not like we go every week. And in the beginning, we were in a very strange schedule. So yeah, maybe.
Wow. Look at Haz immediately going to math. I like Pink's way of thinking. Like, how many times have we moved?
Because
we haven't moved yet.
Chuck, where did you live when we start? See?
Not Hawaii.
Yeah.
I moved too, actually.
You moved too.
Yeah, everyone moved except Gavin. So until Gavin moves, we haven't really gone that far.
He did. Yeah, if you pull up episode whenever I joined, it's a totally
this room has changed a lot.
Yeah. Oh, the desk location has been moved.
Sometimes B is just like, we're changing everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
It'd be all like right. That.
Yeah. Okay.
It's nice. Refreshing.
Oh, well. All right. Yeah, that's everything for me. And now it's time for Haz to bring it in.
I thought you were going to say start the episode, which would have been good.
That would have been good mix. Good mix, yeah. Just ignore those.
For me, it was a perfect sports weekend, I have to say.
Oh, I just realized what you're wearing.
Yeah.
Terrible sports weekend. So bad.
Perfect.
This guy's sportsed out, man.
I am sportsed the fuck out. just fantastic. That's all I'll say. From the Bronx to Madison Square Garden. We just know, you know, it's all good. It's all good. I can't wait to watch. It is really fun, actually. Momo is, I always say this, one of my favorite tournaments has been since Smash 4. And one of the reasons why is because we have the conference finals going on while the tournament's going on. So we get to, every night, usually a group of us is watching at the bar and just like,
true. Whatever. Always,
it's really fun, man. Like, it's a thing that we're all like at least a little bit into. So it's really fun.
I remember that fast break. Jimmy Butler three attempt, and it just didn't go in.
Bro, it was a good shot. I don't care what nobody says.
Oh yeah,
I respected it.
Dude, people were like, he had more time. The lane was open. It was a good shot. It just didn't go in.
It just didn't go in, man.
Yep.
I'll never forget that shot. B and I were watching outside, and it was like a nice little area, like a restaurant vibe. It was cool.
Nice.
Like outside the hotel.
I'm telling Momo, like, truly is a super fun tournament, especially because it's attached to the convention and a lot of y'all are anime nerds. So there's Yu-Gi-Oh stuff for sale there. You know, there's always something to do. It's a nice area you're thinking, but we definitely hunted down Yu-Gi-Oh stuff last year. I remember doing it for a long time.
I believe you. I have a bad memory.
Yeah.
I think that was when I started buying like Godin Edison cards. Yes. It's all starting to come to,
running 8 miles a day for Yu-Gi-Oh cards. But yeah, everything's good, man. Everything's good. I was the job thing with Marcus was funny because he sent me, I knew. So first off, it was weird because the job, like the recommendation thing is like, it should only take you 5 minutes. And I looked, I'm like, ain't no way this is taking me 5 minutes. Like, come on. That's my guy, you know? I'm not taking 5 minutes on it. What do you mean 5 minutes? So I sent Marcus what I wrote. It was all nice and true. And then he sent me that he got it. And that was, I seriously like popped off and I called him. Marcus answers the phone. He goes, bro called me. It's all he said. He answered the phone. I was like, I'm so excited for you. Like, that's so awesome.
Bro called me.
It was so funny. I don't think I've ever had anyone answer the phone like that for me, which is very funny. It was just a good week.
Harrison
overall,
has become.
Yes, we do. And we call each other too, which is hilarious. It must
be like a Northeast thing or something.
I think it's
it's not.
It's like a, no, my wife hates it, dude. Like, it's tough. Like, because she's not a phone caller at all. And I very much am. I think it's like a people who like to talk type thing. Cause that's me in Paris for sure. I'd say that's what we have.
Stace calls people.
Sure. She's a talker.
Yapper.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Anyway. So I had a great week, is what I would say. What else is there to say? I was excited to hop on and do the podcast and talk about having Gavin back and all that stuff. And I'm excited to get to the episode. All's good. I'm very excited for Momo. And let's get at it. So tell us about texting you, because, you know, Gavin and I text pretty frequently. And you were gone for like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, some shit. That's crazy. First off, that's the longest I've ever been gone from home too. So that's crazy. Yeah. And then the time zone change was wild. We were like two ships past, like we text each other and like randomly sometimes at like 8 or 9 PM, one of us would still be up or whatever on the opposite side. So it was hard catching up with you. So I'm actually excited just to hear about your trip to Japan in general, because we haven't really gotten a chance to talk about it yet. So floor's yours.
Yeah. So when I got there, Mute was on my flight.
Oh, nice.
So that's the Mute for entirely navigating me to my hotel, which is, I'm so terrible on my own. Like, so that was helpful. We went out to eat, and it was actually debatably my favorite meal of the whole trip, which is kind of cool that it was the first one. It was very memorable. I don't know. We had a nice time. I liked the location. And we had a nice talk and everything. I thought it was a really good start to the trip. I had a lot of time to myself, and I'm really introverted. But I went on a couple walks. I, like, got B, like a little gacha thing, like a Dragon Quest slime. I found like a card shop and just looked around. I never like buy anything for myself, and I either buy nothing or I spend like $1,000. And that trip was like, I bought nothing for myself. Not a single
crazy.
Cause I knew like I had to like fly within Japan to another tournament. I was just dreading that so much that I just didn't want to
carry more stuff.
Yeah. I just wanted to keep it in control as much as I could. I went to a local and, you know, the second I got there, I was in Family Mart and someone recognized me and they were very like shy and they like whispered like Kagaribi fight. It was just very adorable. It was probably the most pictures and autographs I've ever done for like a trip or like a tournament across like all those events. Like it was just, everyone was very happy to see me and I really appreciate that. I went to a local and round one, I'm playing like really, really good players that are in like business suits. Like they just got off work. Like it was pretty cool. I'm like, damn, you just got off work and you're like trying to time me out. Like,
yeah, the culture is insane, right? I respect it. I love that shit.
dude, the Japanese salarymen going to arcades and like smoking cigarettes, like playing Third Strike.
Yeah.
What a vibe. Like, I love it. It's so cool.
It's not just a Smash thing. That's totally what I like about it, because it started with FGC stuff, right? Like, mm-hmm. with the arcade culture and things like that. So the fact that that kind of culture carried over to Smash, and I think most of us are, I mean, maybe even more old school Smashers too, are very into watching FGC stuff. So seeing the parallels I've seen it for myself, so it's really cool, but it must have been really cool for you to see too, Gavin.
Yeah, and Ryo taking me around made my life easier, and hanging out with him was great. Like, just made it easier to get like comfortable and loose and just have fun, joke around. Like, and I would kind of just see people randomly because so many people were there for Kagaribi that, like, I was out for a walk with Lucky, the Piranha Plant player, and AJ, who was doing like a lot of filming and stuff. It was great to meet him. We went out to eat. We're like out in the street. It's like, oh, there's Leo, Chag, Big Boss. Like
that was the squad.
Like stuff like that. Like I knew it was gonna happen, and it's cool that it actually did. And then going into Kagaribi, like I just felt very comfortable. Like I already had a routine going. My schedule was good. I'd wake up in the morning and like NBA playoffs were happening, which was very interesting, but pretty good timing. I just never watched the basketball game at 8:30 in the morning, but like a live one. But yeah, I even went to a Smash Fest before Kagaribi. I saw like Rain, which is like a crazy throwback game.
Oh, I
even played a little bit of Smash with him.
That's cool.
What character does he play? Cloud?
Aegis.
It makes sense. It's
his, and his gameplay is very, like, it makes a lot of sense. Like, it's very simple, textbook, mm-hmm. like, efficient. Like, yeah, I played a lot with Kamehameha, which is
GOAT.
Really cool, because awesome, I never played Kamehameha in tournament in either game.
Damn, that's so crazy. Every time you say that, I get re-surprised. Like,
I had like a long session with him that was like recorded, and like everyone was spectating and we were having a good time. I felt like I had a good balance of playing with the NA players and the Japanese players at that fest. So I felt pretty good going into Kagaribi, which was nice, because I hadn't felt good about Smash until that moment, honestly.
Was that the same day, like the one with the crew battle?
No.
That was a different one.
Yeah, this was before the boot camp thing.
Goodness.
Ooh. And then there was the boot camp thing where that was probably the funniest thing that happened the whole trip. Because we were kind of all playing, so I didn't even know what the crew battle situation was. They just came up and said it was my turn. So I play Zachary, and then I play against Tease Pac-Man, and then I play against Duck Hunt, and then I play against Ice Climbers. And it was like, it was funny because apparently NA was doing so well. They kind of made this situation where they're like, all right, we're going to give ourselves extra stocks just for that, just for the hell of it, because we're getting like destroyed. And they just kept sending like bad matchups at me. And somehow I was winning, which was so funny. But that was a good time. Bro, that venue was actually ridiculous. They had like, is it Zeta or Zeta? Zeta?
I'm not sure.
They had Zeta Division water, like branded water in the
fridge. It was a real deal.
And they had like catered food and like snacks. And I'm like, bro, this shit is like legit.
Oh yeah, they're not, they don't fuck around.
They're a real deal.
A bunch of setups.
I think this happened while you were there, Gavin. You saw they signed Takara, by the way, as a content creator?
I did not see that.
You didn't? That's obviously dope, I got you, bro.
That's dope.
That's my goat. I know, he's so cool. Anyway.
it was just, that was cool. The more we're talking about it, the more I realize like my trip was just fully dedicated to Smash, which is fine. I think that's the right way to go, considering it was like my last tournament too. Like I didn't get to do that much outside of Smash, but I don't really regret it. I put a lot of effort into Smash that trip. Yeah, and I guess after that was Kagaribi. I went to the pre-local just to hang out, and I played some friendlies. The venue was very nice and spacious. Lots of setups. It definitely felt like a big deal. The whole vibe in the tournament felt like a big deal. But, I mean, the bracket went well. I didn't play any weird matchups, really. I played against Link, and that went really well. And then I played against Perry/Ike, and that went really well. And then I played against Greninja, I think. And I really like that matchup. I don't think that highly of Greninja. I know some people do. And I also think Diddy Kong beats Greninja pretty bad. So I don't know. I've never thought that highly of Greninja. And then after that, I think was Rob. So I think the hardest matchup in all of that is like Link, technically, for me. And then I think that was getting into phase two. And then my phase two was against Naocha in the mirror match. And this was the first time like something had caught me off guard in the whole tournament. Because he hit me with raw forward smash three times, I think.
Yeah, you were getting punched. I was like, what?
He had very interesting use of forward smash just as like a get the second hit.
Or I was about to say, this it was only the second hit.
Yeah, like the move is like frame 12, and he's kind of just hitting me with it and closing out stocks. And I was like, it's interesting. I don't know how much I would do that myself personally, but I didn't like disagree with it either. But that set went really well. I think I had an advantage the whole time. He did switch to hero at the end, and I had no idea he played hero, so that kind of sucked for a second, but I don't think his hero, I don't think he has that much experience, I was told, with it. So, and also, I feel like I played the matchup well. And then, and now we're getting pretty far into it.
Bayonetta? Is that Bayonetta? Or did you?
Yes? I think that was to finish for the day, the mirror match.
That was day one?
Yeah, my first match of day two was the Bayonetta player. I remember that because I didn't eat or warm up before the match. So I remember being a little nervous about going into the day because, and the setup was having issues, and it was like, but that went fine. Bayonetta has been tricky for me, but if Diddy Kong plays it well, it should just be fine.
Yeah. I was in chat like, he's going to lose. He's missing everything. And Aaron just was like, no, it's fine. He's just warming up. It's input. It's fine.
Yeah. Warming up for sure.
So that makes sense that you didn't warm up, because I was like, no. Oh, no, bro can't be playing like this for today. Like, no. Because yeah, everybody else was like losing, and I was like, come on, man. Yeah. Like,
oh, everyone was falling. We had so many fallen soldiers.
Yeah, I'll get more into that too, like my perspective of that.
Nice.
And at that point, and
the coaching too. Like, I think it's because yeah. I think you coached a couple players too, which was dope.
Oh yes. I would. That was fun. And at this point, we're getting pretty far into the bracket, right?
Yeah.
I think snow is when it starts kicking up.
Is that the next one? Was it snow?
Was it the Bay into snow, or is, you might have one more?
Snow.
Just go. Yes. Go. I just think say the matches you remember.
Yes, because I think you're supposed to play level one into snow. You're not playing the Bayonetta into snow.
Yes. Apparently, Toon Link Bayonetta is like garbage. So that's what I was told by Japanese people. So.
I mean,
I don't. Cool. I mean, Aerial Ace, sure. I Toon Link is not that good. Sure. Bayonetta is pretty good. There you go. Sure.
Hold on. Toon Link's great.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
I don't think so. But
I mean, we're Toon Link mains. We're Optimus. All good.
Right. Right. We're delusional.
I was playing Toon Link in Smash 4 a little bit. I'm not gonna lie.
Get ready for the Smash Con picture this year. Toon Link Smash Con.
They better not snub us again, bro. I'm gonna be pissed. I'll be there, dude.
The snow set was weird. It kind of reminded me of a set I had with Kurama at Watch the Throne that was like game five last hit. There's something about me versus Mario where I like, it doesn't matter how bad it goes. I always win somehow. Snow just has good discipline. And I think you need to play the matchup really slow as Mario if you want to beat Diddy Kong. And I think he played the matchup well. It's not really about blowing Diddy Kong up, I don't think. It's like a bonus if you can get it. You gotta like hold the lead, be annoying, like take advantage of platforms and full hop heights and fireballs, and like just make Diddy Kong like have to rely on stray hits and stuff. But yeah, I remember thinking that set shouldn't have been as close as it was, but I got cheesed like a couple times, which is like kind of par for the course versus Mario.
Which is pretty impressive, though. I think
my DI got caught on a down air. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like I think you're usually very good at not getting cheesed, but he caught you like once with a DI cross up and stuff like that. Like I feel like you make Mario players work really hard for stocks.
Exactly. I just lost my lead.
Did you get up smash at all? I think you got up smash one time.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself,
that never happened.
Bro might actually lose this. Like, because once the up smash happened, I was like, bro never gets hit by up smash. It was like game five or something, too. No.
Yeah.
I don't remember what game it was.
It was a very exciting set. Very fun.
Yeah,
set.
There's just a couple things where if I like slightly waited on the ground longer before I jumped, or if like just stuff like that, it probably would have been a bit better for me, but I won anyways, I guess. That matchup is still pretty good. And then I think it was Shutan.
Dormigi.
And it was like pretty quickly after the set with Snow. And that one was also a little awkward. Like game one was very clunky from my perspective. Like it felt like kind of awkward and I barely won. And I feel like the more we played, the more in control I felt and the more comfortable I got. And I think our second set was kind of like that too, where there was awkward moments, but I was able to make the most of them because I wasn't dropping games to the awkwardness. Like I was getting away with it. So it gave me like a bit of extra insurance because now I start playing better and I'm still winning the games when I wasn't playing that well. But he did win a game in losers. But yeah, Dormigi, I win that 3-0. It was the second and third game, I think, that were good. The first game was not. So I don't know. The third game for sure. Wait, yes. And then Hutan. And that one was like really close, I think. Like just lots of last hits. Did he win the first game?
I don't know, but it was a lot of last hits.
Yeah. Honestly, it's been like that for a while now. I just managed to actually drop a set at Genesis. And even though my record with him is so good, like I've won a lot of last hit clutch games versus him.
Yeah, it's not like you've 3-0 free him over the years. Time and like yeah, it's just it they're down to the wire. He's a very good player.
The thing about Diddy Kong Olimar is like they kind of destroy each other, but when it comes to the last hit scenario, the fact that Olimar dies to down tilt so early and so consistently,
yeah, it's huge.
In tournament, like it's in tournament especially, just feels like so reliable, and he doesn't out of shield the down tilt pressure that well either because he's a tether grab character. So I can kind of get away with like brute forcing it or trying to like once in a while a little bit, and then like the up smash killing him is just. It helps a lot.
Yeah, I know when you were first getting into playing Diddy Kong a lot, you would tell me that the Diddy Kong community feels like Olimar does well versus Diddy Kong, yeah. And you felt the opposite. I mean, how do you, like, you know, it's been so long with you competing with Diddy Kong and playing against players like Shutan and many other Olimar players, right? So how do you feel about that matchup now? Are you still on the side of, like, Diddy slight advantage, or you feel like maybe more even?
I think even or something is fair. It's like, okay. I think I'm really good at it. But Diddy Kong gets a lot of extra damage and the edge guard, maybe even a kill, like early kill sometimes. And once again, like killing with down tilt at like 100% consistently is like
a godsend for Diddy Kong. Like that's not the case for most.
And matches. If you execute well, even though Olimar gets a lot of damage in like the scrappy scenarios, like, you can really bully him. And if he commits to an option, you can just like punish things over and over and over again. You just can't contest with like the sword down air sometimes. That was honestly one of the problems in the set. It was same problem I had with Snow, where I was just jumping a little too quickly when I saw a visual cue. If I just waited a little longer, nothing bad would have happened to me. But yeah, it feels like it's one of those matchups where like they just do so much damage to each other and it eventually becomes a last hit.
Yeah.
And I think Diddy Kong is a little better at it, surprisingly. Olimar might be better at getting the damage in like a chip scenario, but I think Diddy Kong's a bit better at finishing it. Yeah, it's pretty much it. I don't disagree with why Olimar might win the matchup. Like, it is, he's kind of bad at getting Pikmin off him, and he can be kind of obvious if he tries to flip kick the Pikmin. And just, you know, using banana horizontally can be pretty tough.
But I think overall, for your play style, you value a lot just getting the stock, because the sets that I see you struggle in personally is when you can't nail the stock and your opponent's at like 150, 180, and you're like, oh, there's at such high percent, I don't want to go for a riskier option. So you keep going for safe options and they play around that. So yeah. I think for you as a player, if as long as you can seal the stock out at, you know, sub 130, that's a huge W for you, because the rest of your gameplay is so rock solid.
Yeah, it's also like I said, if Olimar picks a decision and Diddy Kong is like in a spot to punish it, like he just gets the job done. Like oh, you finally like jumped out of shield and picked something, like up tilt, like kill you at 140, like stuff that isn't usually that easy. Like there's some matchups where like a characters will pick an option and like I can't punish it until they pick like two or three things after.
Robert. Or something.
Yeah, like or like
Game of
Olimar's decisions like aren't as layered. The neutral is more layered. He's like blocking the banana and he's making it difficult. But once like we're playing, it's very like we just take turns and it's very traditional. Like when we pick an option that like it's your turn now. And Diddy Kong's a little bit better at keeping the tempo in that scenario, in those scenarios, like just because of like down tilt, like short, like double back air and a short hop. Like Olimar never has like a, like he can't pick two decisions in an instant. It's always one decision. So it's like, once you get in, you make the most of it. But yeah, I won that set. And honestly, our Kulon set was the same set. It was the same set. Like just last hit games, and this Diddy Kong's a little bit better there, I think. And I think Shutan was for top 8, and then I played Aquila. And honestly, I don't remember the set too well. I just remember my pacing was good, and I felt like I was putting pressure on Aquila and making him play poorly. Like I was just playing like a good balance of like, oh, am I going to get risky or am I going to play like slightly outside of your range? And that's what I want to do versus Thieve when I play versus Thieve. And sometimes it makes it go worse, or sometimes it makes you get like a lot of momentum. It's like a risk.
Interacting with the wall, man. There's so many scenarios where it's like eventually you have to interact with this wall, but
yeah,
if the Steve player knows exactly when you're going to interact with the wall, that's when the forward smash comes through, the dash attack, right? It's like there's so much advantages for Steve, and these options do get KOs really early. Like I personally felt, and I know me and Pink were talking about this when we were restreaming on the throne, we felt like the final destination game was really strong. We felt like you played really well on final. It felt like the stage, you had a lot of space, and yeah, he was creating his own platforms. But yeah, I guess we were pretty surprised on the Smashville counter pick, but I mean, I thought you overall played the matchup.
I
want to
get
great
into that really badly.
Okay. Okay.
Excellent.
So FD, last time I played on FD versus Steve was I had a couple sets with Syrup where I like reset the bracket. It went really well. And then I lost the second set at like a Tri-State Showdown, maybe it was called. Like,
yeah, like a regional. And
yeah, I it was like a good bracket. I played against like Zomba and Jackal and I had a game on FD versus Syrup that went super well, and it kind of changed my idea of stages a little bit, to the point where I expected him to pick FD and I was okay with it, and I thought I would win, and I pretty much did.
You should have won the
forward smash. Honestly, my biggest regret isn't the air dodge. My biggest regret in that set is the Smashville pick. So here's the thing. I get why, like, everyone in the crowd wanted me to pick Smashville. And even my coach at, like, Eco wanted me to pick Smashville. I did not want to pick Smashville. I actually banned Hollow. And I understood why they wanted it on paper. But my current style against Steve, I did not want to play on Smashville. But I just did
what's the plus? Like, explain. What are the pluses of Smash? I would love to hear, like, what.
Well, there's
the obvious
material stuff.
The materials.
Okay.
And, like, I can't remember exactly, but I like a plus could be like the fact that my aggression was like the reason I was doing well in the set. Like I was making him uncomfortable and like kind of mauling him a little bit, which is kind of the goal with Diddy Kong, especially if you take materials away from Steve.
Okay.
But
you have barrels though. But here's just a quick interjection. I think Diddy is strong, or not maybe like strong in the matchup, but I think a strong tool any character has versus Steve if you have a high damaging move. Yes, you do 6 damage to yourself, but you can deal a good amount of damage to stone and iron blocks. So I personally think that's something that you could take advantage of. But if you wanted to go more in the angle of like, I want to use my normals to KO the blocks, then that makes sense to go to something like a wood stage. But even, yeah, it's just,
it
had, I don't know.
I think nothing to do with the walls, really. I just think, especially for Akula specifically, I don't think Akula is too strong versus Diddy Kong, because his gameplay can be very stationary. And I don't think you can take advantage of that too well on Hollow in Smashville, because the platform gives him protection without him having to do anything about the matchup.
Right, and he's just staying center stage. So he's controlling the strongest area in the stage.
But if the middle of the stage is open, I'm able to take advantage of Aquila standing still in certain positions, whether it's horizontally or vertically. Because when Steve doesn't have walls, it can be hard for him to jump around and like play Smash traditionally, and Diddy Kong can take advantage of that. Banana and Monkey Flip become like traditionally strong. Like you just play the matchup like a normal matchup, like you're fighting Bowser or something. The walls obviously change things. And against Aquila specifically, all of my success versus him has been because of that. And you just can't do it that well. I banned Hollow and figured he wouldn't pick Smashville because it should be my counterpick. So that's why I regret picking a game 5, but I kind of just listened to the advice. And that's crazy. I don't blame them or anything.
Yeah. I just think
because they didn't know. They don't even know why. They probably don't know as well as I do, like why the set was closed in the first place. So, but yeah, that's my. I think the open middle is very important. Was important for me at least in that moment.
Yeah.
Who knows what it would be like the next time or something. And yeah, that was it. I don't remember some of the in-betweens as well. There was a PS2 game where I could have closed it out 3-1, I think. I had a couple scenarios, but the wall kind of got in the way to, like, finish it out, I think. But I, you know, I played all right. I get a little antsy versus Steve when, like, I'm about to close it out just because he makes it so hard to close it out.
I mean, you're at kill percentage at zero.
Especially because they slow it down, Yeah. They're getting more and more materials. Like, it's kind of how it plays out, the more pressure you put on them. And then after that, I played Dormigi again. And it's funny because in Winners, I think it was just a dramatized version of the winner set where the low points for us were worse and the higher points for us were better. Like my leads were even better than before. I'd actually dropped the game instead of not dropping any games before. Like, it kind of felt like a top 8 version of our winner set. And then versus Mia, that was definitely the worst set I had of the whole trip. Like, he kind of just destroyed me, honestly. It's just, you know what? This is what I said. I think it was to B when I got home. What people think Kazuya is in Smash is what Mia is in Smash. The zero to death might not be true, and it might not be as quick, but it is way better, and it is really efficient, and it might as well be Kazuya, is like what I'm saying. Like, when Mia hits you, you are dead. Like, you're dead. So I just never got a chance to play. I don't remember the set too well. I didn't play the matchup too well. I was too airborne, which is always my problem if I lose the game of watch. But yeah, he destroyed me. Like, the biggest thing about Diddy Kong Game & Watch is I feel like it's supposed to be good for Diddy, but Bucket changes.
I was about to say, I don't see it.
Bucket changes the way the matchup is played so drastically to a point where he just gets close because of Bucket. And something like Smash 4, you kind of just preemptively wall him out with forward airs and banana. And there isn't a situation where it's like, oh, throwing this banana is like bad. But you're kind of waiting a lot more because of the threat of Bucket reflecting. So he gets too close too often. And yeah, that was Kagaribi. Honestly, it felt weird because everyone was losing. Like, all of my peers were just losing, like,
very early.
I did coach Paris in one of his sets, and I obviously have never done that before. I've never coached Paris. We've talked a lot, we've played a lot, but I just want to say how fun that was, because I'm sure all of you guys have had experience with this where, like, if you're talking to one of the best players in the world and you tell them to do something, how immediate
yes
they apply it, and they might even apply it better than what you imagined. Everything I told him, he just did it. And not only did he do it, he understood why. Like, it's like they understand it when they actually do it in the game. They're like, oh, snap. Like, I see why you said to do that. Like, basically, I just told him, like.
And then they add more layers onto the base concept, which is hype.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit. Okay.
I've seen this with you, Gavin, but also experienced the other end in Unite where you don't listen to me at all. Very frustrating.
Let me stack here. Let me stack.
It's the opposite experience. Don't take my creep. There it goes. Okay. The next one, maybe. I'm stacking. Don't dunk. Up. Oh, all right. He's dunking. All right. You got it, man. You got it.
Like, anyway. It was basically versus this Ness player. I told him, like, when the Ness is like picking decisions, he's like responding immediately instead of like tracking better. And like hit something about his ledge trapping, I told him to do, and he just did all of it and won, and it was cool. He would have won anyway, but it was fun. It was.
Those were some close games.
Yeah, it was just fun to coach like someone that's a freak of nature at the game.
It's good coaching. You're giving him all the credit,
and that's your boy.
Like, yeah,
that is my boy, bro.
So yeah, like it's like I think stuff like that's super cool.
It was a cool memory, like coaching Mute. Paris and I were just like,
that show was funny.
We were kind of like trying to like create a game plan before we had to coach, and it also like goes to show like how specific your coaching has to be, like per individual. I was like, okay, I know Mute. I probably know Mute way better than Paris does, and I was like, all right, we're not gonna just go up there and start like blah, 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 blah. Like we have to keep it chill. We have to like keep it reserved and say what we want to say. And I just like, I was like, Paris, like maybe you should let me do it, because I feel like you're just gonna like start spamming. It's just interesting, like I've never been in that scenario where I'm like trying to coach and also like make sure I'm like being caring towards the individual and like doing what I think works for them. So I was trying to coach Mute more like how I would coach myself, and then I was trying to coach Paris how I would coach Paris, because I know Paris. Like for Paris, I was just like, it's like simplified, and like you can say whatever you want. Like you can call him an asshole if you want. Like he'll handle it. Like,
yeah.
Like he's it's kind of, that's kind of one of the best things about him, is like he's very resilient, go with the flow. Like say whatever you need to do, he'll get it. So that was fun.
So question,
and being coach as well was also different. Like when's the last time I did that? Like it's been probably like since I started playing the game, since I was like coached mid set.
How'd you feel about coaching?
Good. I'm always worried though. Like shout out to Eco. We've been working together for a while. This isn't like spur of the moment or anything for Kagaribi. And he also plays Diddy Kong himself and stuff. And I was nervous. Coaching me is not easy, and I knew if we were in
the middle, not?
I knew if we were in the middle of the set and I didn't want to talk to anyone, I was worried about those moments. But I think I did a good job at Kagaribi. I was receptive. I listened. Like I didn't, you know, go to losers and start ignoring anyone. Like I didn't do
that. I almost don't like the fact that you listened, though.
I know, dude. You can't win, because I'm not even like, you know what?
I've been doing this myself for like 10 years, like stubborn. Yeah, like I know. Well, the only thing I regret listening to is game 5 stage. But at the same time, I respect how even though Eco knows this, he still doesn't regret telling me. Like he wanted me to do that. Like,
oh, right. There's nothing.
I kind of love that about it as well, where like you do something, like it's like a split second game. Like you need to pick something and like die on the hill. So I respect it. But yeah.
Just from my experience coaching you, it's like, I remember one of the first times that you just straight up didn't do what I said. And it was like, I remember it very clearly. It was like right in the beginning of me coaching you, because before even getting into TSM, I remember I coached you for free. I was like, hey man, I really want to coach you. And like, we'll do like a month. And I'll just like, we'll see if we connect or whatever. Right. And I remember us studying like Gluto Evo VODs and shit and talking about the bike way back then and how like important this is for the character. And lo and behold, it's the backbone of Gluto's gameplay and stuff like that. But so then we start coaching, and then I tell you not to go Wolf against Dark Wizzy. Right. Because I was like, yeah, he like grinds with a lot of good Wolf players. And then Gavin's just like, well, he's not the best Wolf. And then he just locks in Wolf and just shits on Dark Wizzy with Wolf, and I'm like, oh shit, all right. So like I already knew what kind of player I was dealing with in that sense, right? Because like for me, Void was also stubborn, but in like you two were stubborn in different ways. In very different ways. Yeah. So for me, I would even like, we never got to do too much mid-set coaching because that was already gone by the time I was on TSM. I think a lot of coaching is before, but even then, whenever I coached you after that like Wolf incident, I was like, okay, I want to, I can give Gavin the on paper answer and be like, hey, this is what I personally think on paper with all of like the studying I do of the game. Yeah. But if you, I know you're not a very on paper kind of person, even though you see Gavin and he's very technical and stuff, he's not very on paper. His vision of the game, I would say, is like, he tries to fast forward his vision of the game like a couple years from now. So it's like, okay, people aren't doing this, but this is better and it will show in like, you know, 1 or 2 years or whatnot. So Gavin's very, has a lot of future sight when it comes to Smash. So when coaching you, I would always be like, okay, here's the on paper answer. What do you think of it? I always wanted your perspective on things, because the more I understood your perspective, the more I could suggest things maybe that would go more with how you're approaching the game and the matchup. Cause even like when me and Pink were watching the set, we were both like, FD, even though you lost on FD, we were like, that was the best stage pick like, bro, of the entire set.
Game five, I was like, please go back to FD.
Right, right. And like the way you were playing on FD, and even just like, I understand the Smashville perspective of like the resource and stuff, but when you, Smashville is the smallest stage, right? So when you're trying, to me, when you're aggressing on Steve, you need space, because if you don't have space, then you're interacting with Minecart and Anvil. So like, to it's me, scrunching the stage
the size, middle too, I think.
It's the I think the middle platform.
You get above the minecart more often with nothing in your way. And like, the middle is so important, especially in that set. It felt like the middle was important.
Yeah, just and noticing when you feel comfortable, I think, is a very big deal when coaching you specifically, because you, like, just from my experience, I am like one of the most on paper Smash dudes out there, and you guys can you know, attest for that. But when coaching Gavin, I would just tell him what the on paper is, in terms of like, hey, this is what I feel like it is. But yeah, like, it just felt like you were comfortable on FD. That's just the vibes were there on
I FD. Started that's really or in the Japan trip, I really started separating things around the middle area of the stage being open or not. That was kind of my flow chart.
Interesting.
It worked for me. And then I had a few days to myself. After Kagaribi, I publicized that I was probably going to stop playing, which was hard. But like after the tournament finished, it's not like whether I wanted to or not. Like, I just felt like it was right, so I just did it. Sorry to everyone that was a surprise to.
I thought you were capping at first. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
Like,
I
was your three co-hosts who you've known for 10 plus years.
Yeah. Were
like,
sorry.
Wait, is it, what is this?
Sorry. Well, it's sorry okay. to be.
Yes. That's a big one.
I'm still dealing with the consequences of not really telling anyone. But yeah, it just felt right. It's hard to talk about why I'm done. It's like a million reasons, and it's so vague. And at the same time, it's like, I don't even really know. It's not like I want to. Like, okay, whatever. Moving on. But yeah, I made the post. And I had a few days to myself, you know, going into Kulon, which was nice. But I was all, this is where I was officially homesick, especially because like I wasn't really hanging out with anyone. I was kind of just going to Family Mart and sleeping and reading a lot. But I thought it was a good prep for Kulon. Looking back at it, like I usually do really well at tournaments where I'm like by myself for a significant amount of time.
Dude, I'm so glad you said that, because we were texting before you took off for Kagaribi. And, you know, after Level Up, it was tough because Level Up was not a good tournament for you, obviously.
Yeah.
And I said to you, I was like, I truly think this trip could be an amazing one for you. And not just like, because when shit's not good, I'm not going to be like, yeah, you're good, man. I was like, no, I really think like you're going to be alone and like you're going to be there in competitor mode. You know, I'm not going to be there being an idiot. And like, you know, Charles and, you know, we're not going to be there hanging out until 4 a.m. or whatever. It's a good opportunity. There's great food there, like a good opportunity, especially for someone, you know, you have your sensitive stomach and all that stuff. It's a good opportunity to eat some good food, to rest, and really, you know, just be on the other side of the planet and disconnect from everything you have going on and just focus on competing. And I was like, because I really thought about it, because you said that to me. You're like, I'm, you know, you said how you're feeling stressed about competing in the tournaments and all that stuff. And I really thought about it. And I was like, I think same thing. The tournaments that you did best at are where you just locked in. And it's hard to do when there's so many things going on around you.
Yeah, I looked back to like the most recent Miami event where I was at a different hotel than everyone else. I would wake up early, eat breakfast, work out, like just barely talking to anyone, barely just by myself.
Pro was locked in.
Yeah. So going into Kulon, it was very reserved. Just a couple hour flight. I took a taxi to my hotel. Finally met up with Ryuo. We went out to eat. And when I got there, it just felt very... I felt zero pressure about it. I wasn't nervous that it was my last tournament. I wasn't worried about how good or bad I was going to play. It really felt like just a regional in there. It was way different than Kagarivi. Not that it wasn't stacked and like a really crazy event, but I just didn't feel any pressure or anything.
Bro, I thought you were going DK.
I thought about it genuinely. My plan going into the event was to kind of just like flex around characters based around matchup and just like kind of play all the characters I've played over the years just for fun but like seriously try to win while doing it. But by the time it started, I picked Diddy Kong in my first match. And
oh, GGs.
Once I picked him, like I'm just picking him the whole time. My first set was against Dark Pit. I'm playing Diddy Kong every day of the week in that one. Like, I'm trying to remember who did I play. Second set. I don't know. at one point, I had to fight Isabel, which was tough. I heavily considered going not Diddy Kong. But once again, like I win the first game. And it's just like, here we are. Like, once it starts flowing, like, I can't stop. Like, I lost one game, and it was pretty rough. And I just didn't switch. I just kept going. Like, and who else did I play? I played Big Boss. That one was a bit awkward and sloppy. But
he's good.
Yeah. I thought his stage picks were... He picked Town and City at one point, which I thought was a good pick. I think that set was 3-1. And then I had to play, I think, Shutan again at some point in that bracket. But once again, it felt like I just had a good bracket for these events, like lots of winning matchups. But by the time I got to top 8, it's like, okay, now you got to play against what everyone else has to deal with. I went up 2-0 on Anen, and I think I got ahead of myself a bit with the aggression. Like I said, like finding the balance between it is hard in that matchup. It's really important to like bully the Steve as much as you can, but you can definitely get ahead of yourself, I think. I just wasn't dealing with the walls as well as I was. And, you know, there's more walls, like the more the set goes on. And
stronger walls, more walls.
The plan was to switch to Sephiroth if I lost a game. But I didn't expect to go up 2-0. So yeah, when you're up 2-0 and you lose that game.
Yeah, you go back.
You just go back.
Especially if game 3 was like close and stuff.
You're not going to switch game 5. Like,
but I genuinely think I probably would have won if I just switched after it was 2-1. Because if Sephiroth has 2 games to work with, I feel pretty decent. But whatever.
You would have gone back to Diddy Kong if you lost game 4. It's fine.
Yeah, that's also possible, genuinely. I mean, Anen went on to win the tournament. So
yeah, congrats to them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I didn't see Grand Finals, but I think it was 3-0. So, like, and I played Spargo, which was a pretty crazy set. I was waiting to play the winner of Paris and Spargo. And Spargo picks Plant game 1. And the situation just kept getting more and more ridiculous as I was spectating it, that I just stopped watching. I was just like, this is so fucking stupid. Like waiting to play the winner of like whatever the fuck that was just like
holy shit.
So funny.
Do you think he would go plant against you after that? Were you like, wait, is he just gonna, is this gonna keep going or what?
I didn't think so, but I wasn't positive.
Yeah, which is interesting.
I think he like knew or like probably thought about this being like the last time that y'all play potentially in this game. And then
if anyone was gonna think about it, I think it was him.
Yeah.
I think that's, I didn't think about it like that. Because that's the thing, a lot of my friends at these, at during this trip, notably, Paris doesn't believe me. Just straight up refused to believe me. Not that I, like, talked to him a million times that I was, like, done playing. But he just kept saying, like, oh, see you at this event, see you at this event. I'm like, I don't know what this guy's fucking problem is. But,
that's just talking to Paris, though.
But, yeah, Spargo definitely, like, if anyone was thinking about it, it's him. Spargo's, he's the best. We had a good set. Game one, I like 0-0 him and lost, and I was like, all right, I lose this set for sure. I genuinely thought that, and I was like, that's fine, I guess I lose. And then game two, I'm about to win again, and he puts me off stage, and we like the barrel thing happened, and yeah. I did it on purpose, but it's still like very lucky and fortunate. Like, I'm still like trying to. Like, I know it's my only chance.
It was your only out. Was, you went for it, but it actually worked, and you're like, what? That actually worked?
Like, you had died to it, that limit cross slash earlier. So you're probably
so
like,
since we're on the left side of the stage, especially, like, it's more likely to work for me.
Yeah, because the barrels can only go clockwise.
Yeah, you just hold right and pray, and it worked. The only game that was, like, really good was like game five for me. I kind of just won the whole time. Yeah, I don't know. That matchup's good, but he's always made it hard because he plays so fast and oppressive. But I think overall I showed like why Diddy Kong can do well in that matchup. But it's kind of like playing Paris where they just put pressure on you and it kind of makes you play worse. But yeah, and then I played Sonics. And Sonic's game plan was, this is going to sound silly, but Sonic's game plan was actually really different this time around. And it was really good. I think it's really good because obviously Sonic's is willing to time people out and he plays really defensive and whatnot. But the way he was doing it was very deliberate, especially in the matchup, because he was letting me have the lead until the game was getting to timeout territory. And he was taking advantage of, like, Sonic being a bit more, like, explosive. So he would wait and wait and wait. And he's losing for, like, 5+ minutes. And then get an opportunity, take it. And then there's no time left for me to even get the game back. So that was, like, really, really good strategy. Because it means, like, the game starts to boil down to, like, one or two things. And then Sonic can kind of just, like, out-character Diddy Kong. But if it's, like, spread out across more interactions, Diddy Kong is more likely to win. But he was just waiting and waiting for his opportunity while having, like, a slight deficit. And he'd take the lead, and then there's less than a minute left, so I can't do anything. So that was, like, really good. Especially the way he ended the set, it was like that. I was just waiting for something. Like, he's just waiting and waiting and waiting. I have the lead. I'm controlling center. He gets an opportunity, plays really explosive, gets the kill, get like, an edge guard. And then there's nothing you can do. So he was locked in. Like, he was trying to, like, win the whole tournament.
He was locked in.
Yeah, like, he was trying to win the whole fucking thing. So I left the venue knowing Gluto was fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, even Sonic, bro. It's just
like, I don't care how the winner set went. Like, shout out to Gluto. He's, like, my favorite player ever. And he played the matchup really well in winners, despite Sonic's clearly being tilted out of his mind. But I knew Sonic's, like, Gluto had no fucking chance. It was going to be on in Sonic's, guaranteed. Still haven't watched the set, don't care. But on in winning 3-0 is, like, pretty crazy, just because I just said that, like, Sonic's was locked in, so. But I do think Anand's defense from, like, game one is probably the best out of all the Steves. Like, you know the whole, like, game five Steve thing where they start camping? Anand is locked in from game one sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So I think if you're playing against Sonics, that's pretty good. to like kind of have that style.
I didn't know this game.
That's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, and that was pretty much it. Kind of a bittersweet trip, but still like a solid one. I got fourth in both events. Technically beating Shuton's a run back. Apparently it's been a long time since I beat Spargo, so that's cool.
Tara, was that the last time?
Probably. It's been a couple years, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I think it was a good trip. Had lots of good food. Brought back a couple trinkets for B. I don't know. I'm just glad to be home. And still figuring out what I'm doing next. I don't know.
I'm glad you went, because you were...
I was about to just not go. Like, I was this close to just not going.
Bro, I'm telling you, you would have been 5 years from now. What the... Why didn't I go? Like,
I would have did the whole, like, if I win, I would have won.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have been far off. Like, you wouldn't have been far off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, watching the you versus Aquila, when I saw the set, I was like,
"That's every set with Aquila I've ever had."
No, but I'm saying like when one. I saw the set,
except like one set.
When I saw the set, I was like, "The winner of this is going to win the tournament."
Oh,
like,
I see.
You know what I mean? Like that. It felt like that set felt like that.
Yeah.
So,
dude, the set that blew my mind in top eight was actually Dormigi Gluto. God damn.
Bro, the character diff was so insane.
Bro,
I heavily disagree with going Battlefield all Thank three you. Fucking games. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Dude, I was on the stream where we're watching
You're evolving, bro.
And I'm just like, why are we on Battlefield? That matchup
isn't that bad. It's not that bad.
Why are we on Battlefield? Like, I don't
even know if it's bad, period, actually.
I don't even understand. Like, it's...
Gluto kind of has that thing where if he...
It's impossible.
Gluto does struggle if he, like, knows nothing about a matchup. Yeah. Like, Kazuya was like that for a little bit.
And I was like, dude, the last time they played it was not close, man. Like,
I've never even seen them play before. I just...
It was not
close. Wario is not supposed to just, like, die that frequently. Like, it's not supposed to be like that. Like, it's not. But
I mean, same thing goes with Rob, and I saw Dormigi versus Zomba, and
yeah.
I'm just like, Binman looks like a character that can
Dormigi's pretty ruthless, bro. He's pretty ruthless.
Yes, Dormigi's just like, I don't care how good your recovery is and how bad mine is, I'm out here. And yeah, I'm trying to kill you at zero. Like, I don't gaff.
my
like,
God.
Because there was just no chance I was playing Gluto instead of Dormigi, bro. Like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. That said, I'm very impressed that Gluto got top eight at both events.
With Wario.
And his Kulon, like, he's just so...
Bro.
It really shows, like, how... Like, the benefits of, like, just sticking to this for so many years. Like, sticking to the game plan. And, like, even the Link thing, like, he's still very deliberate. Like, he has a plan. Like, I don't know. He's just the best, dude. Like, watching him take that set off Sonics and Winners is, like, this isn't, like, a fluke. Like, in the sense of, like the dash attacks he was getting on the spin. Like, as a Wario fan my whole life, like you can see when he's making changes and, like, he's trying to fucking win these hard matches, bro. And he hasn't lost to me in, like, 30 years. Like,
that is crazy to me.
He just 3-0s him now.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm glad for so many years I was able to do that kind of thing for once. Not the same, but really lock in a character for like a significant amount of the time, like one character. Obviously, I've bounced around a million times. A lot of people have, but that's one of the cool things about my experience with Diddy Kong and Ultimate. I got to feel like someone I never got to feel like before.
True.
And that...
yeah, the solo man. You I think that's something about solo man mark.
Yeah, like something about Kagarimi and Kulon where like it's just too hard to pick someone else. Like you wait all these years to like do a trip this special. Like you put all this effort in. Like I'm just gonna try to So many people helped me with the character over the years. I put so much effort into the character over the years myself. Like, I've met a lot of people because of Diddy Kong. Like, a lot of, like Aaron's, like, one of my best friends I've ever met now. Like, I've always been friends with him, but something like Diddy Kong just makes it even better. So, I don't know. Like, when you're at a tournament like Kagaribi, I think you're gonna pick, like, what your heart tells you. You're not gonna, like, be a robot that just, like, counterpicks, and, like, you're gonna pick your best. Like, I think that's why I did that. Especially for Kulon, like,
yeah,
it's Steve and all that stuff, but, like, I'm
close it out with Diddy, bro.
Bro, what are you gonna do? Go Sephiroth and then, like, lose? And it's like, dude, is that really what I did? You know what yeah. I mean? Like, goddamn.
Yeah.
Don't pick the Brawl character and lose. Just play.
I love an ultimate. And you know,
he's Brawl Ike.
Especially Brawl on Ike. This podcast, I'm your Sephiroth's strongest soldier, is what I'll say. And in general, because yeah. I do enjoy. You don't think so, Marcus?
All good. Nope.
You don't think so? Man. You he, more than me?
He is a fan. He is a fan.
Oh, dude, I don't know. I was there when
I think we're all fans of the Sephiroth, like, but I would rather see
Charles is the least fan.
Oh, yeah, Charles is.
Yeah, I'm more of a fan of the Dove than the Seph, yes.
Not me. That character's cool as hell.
Oh, shit. Sending the L's with Sephiroth.
Yeah, at least you look cool.
And I just want one clip, Gavin. Just one clip. Go crazy on one
side. Yeah, not the playstyle. The character himself, though.
But yeah.
But yeah.
It was a good trip. But like I said, the getting home was brutal, but I'm glad to be home. It was the Switch 2 time skip. Now we're like 2 weeks away. So.
Hey, we talked about this before you went on the trip. After you get back from the trip, it'll be really close. And
yeah.
It was a great tournament breakdown, Gavin. Shout outs to both the Steve players getting first. It was Akula.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't even think about that.
I haven't thought about that either. Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, I mean, good stuff to them.
I mean, North America in general doing well at Kulon.
Kulon, yeah. Especially. I was going to say Kagaribi.
Not
what do you mean? Wrath made top eight, man.
Wrath go? True?
Wrath should have.
That's kind of like what Wrath does. Like, yep. He just no sweat in top eight. Like,
I really wanted to see Wrath beat Raru. I was so sad. Dude. I was so certain. I was like, if there's any set. Sonic player that can do this, it's going to be Wrath. Like, Wrath is going to just, like, not get caught by this Luigi, time him out every single time.
He did.
And I was just like,
he got caught. What? He got caught.
There was, I will say, I saw like 2 to 3, like, Wrath just got straight up unlucky interactions. And I was like, dang, I usually don't feel sorry for Sonic players, but like, I was just like, man, like, it just sucks to see an NA player get that unlucky at
that set was rough. Well, because like it was like the down throw upbees as at the earliest possible percent.
Yeah,
you could say unlucky, but I think
when you're not reaching 100 ever,
did have a very good.
He got the best hand he could have gotten dealt. Riddles beating Spargo, and having an amazing also final tournament. And he had Ashimo too, which is just a really he plays Jazzo every week, twice a week or whatever. They're close, like really good play. And then he had to play against Ty K. Pretty sure he's great at the Sonic Ditto. He 3-0'd. Like it was his bracket to lose, and I'm really happy he didn't because we, like you said, Gavin, another day in the office.
That sucks so bad when you. I've had so many brackets like that where it's like your bracket to lose and then you just
do.
You don't capitalize enough or something. And
he crushed it. He did great. And he made top eight winner side. It's hard to knock anything out.
Oh, true.
You can't complain. Huh?
Oh, he's back.
What happened?
You lagged a little bit. It's all good.
What the heck?
A little lag.
I said it would have been nice to see Wrath do a little more in top eight, but you can't get winner side top eight is insane.
I don't think people are just so asleep. I'm not even sure if Gavin's like really recognized making winner side top eight at that event. Like that event was hard as
fuck.
Everything happened so fast that you're just
like kinda, you were just kind of there. Like
you were the only survivor. You and Wrath are just surviving, bro.
It was crazy too. Yeah, I don't know. Do you know that we live streamed it by the way, Gavin? Like TK and like
yeah. Some of the my service was so wonky. Oh. All
trip. I mean, you had to.
We did not expect you to watch us. I just didn't know if you even knew that.
Turned on the stream at some point while I was like not in the venue.
Did you see me sleeping on TK stream?
I remember seeing you at one point, kind of just like
Damn it.
Just like laying, like laying.
Oh, that was right before he fell asleep.
I fell asleep.
Laying in your chair, kind of just like.
I got a blankie, dude. I was comfy. It was good. It was like 3 in the morning. I had to get up in 3 hours. I was ready to go.
Like, you know, Bee's working and like Tiny like was exhausting for her to deal with because we had to, she had to take her to the vet and everything. Like, so Bee missed everything too. Like, I just, it's hard to blame her. Like,
time zone diff was tough.
Yeah, it's just too much.
But yeah, we had a lot of fun, and it was seriously like around that top, you know, 200 area. It was just messages from chat as to like what's happening, what live streams do we need to go to, like who's hand cam. But it was very cool. It was like a very active event where every set, even round one pools at some points, felt really exciting, to be honest, which I can't even remember the last time we said that.
The coaching added like a viewership dynamic to it. Like
we talked about that. Yeah. We're all fans of coaching, obviously. Yeah, I think it's cool. Quick though, obviously. It's a long game.
Oh yeah.
So it's tough.
Yeah. It was a good trip. I'm sure more people want me to talk about like the fact that I'm not playing Ultimate in tournaments.
Yeah, what the fuck are you gonna do now?
Golly.
I'm
having a hard time like saying it on the show because I'm still kind of figuring out everything myself privately. So like how am I supposed to like put it into words publicly? Mm-hmm. But yeah, stick around. Maybe I'll be able to explain myself better next time.
I mean, you're still... you got back from your trip.
I just got home. Like, my thing was like, I just need to get home.
You're stabilizing right now.
I just need to get home, and then I'll figure it out.
Yeah, y'all noticed we didn't record last week. It was because we didn't want to do another episode without Gavin, because it's like, well, what are we going to... Like, obviously, what you guys are
going to speculate some more about his retirement? Like,
send trials about Steve for the third time in a row.
No. Please, comments, don't roast me. I won't say the name anymore.
Gavin, before we go, though, a lot of people... You know, there have been a lot of great posts about you, actually, that I've really enjoyed seeing. Sure. Got me a little emotional seeing some of them. And people specifically talking about the podcast, which really... got me, and some people calling it their comfort show and shit. I was like, damn, like I never sometimes we just do with it. I'm sure you understand this, Gavin, and all three of you do. It's like you kind of just do something, you forget like the ripple effect or like the magnitude of it, because we just come here to hang out and talk about Smash and have a good time. But it was really cool to see the impact you've had over so many years and how many people you've inspired, like so many young, obviously we know about the big ones like Spargo, but there's more, you know, three tours I'm sure saw you play and then picked up the six themselves. So I don't know, it was a big week. It was emotional. There was a lot going on there.
Yeah, I'm grateful to everyone. This podcast has been something special. It was kind of just something we did over COVID because Charles was like, Gavin, you should do something with your YouTube channel.
I always be pestering Gavin, whether it be like, hey man, like, you know, that content thing, that's like, I would always say, tell you this, I would always tell you that your content is your retirement plan, right?
Yes.
So, hey, it's time to activate.
So, I mean, even shouts to little things like the people that I recognize from my stream all these years that are kind of just there for me. And like not anything specific like Smash, like shouts to like all those people, all my supporters, and it just kind of put things into perspective. I saw like a lot of the support. That was the other thing too. When I made that first post, I don't know what I expected, but I didn't expect the chaos, not chaos, but like all the interactions on social media. I guess I'm not used to posting too much. Yeah, it was a lot of support. It was overwhelming. Thank you. Something I've been realizing is like just how fast everything flies by. Like, I've been doing this really long. It feels like it hasn't been that long, but it has.
Bro, I met you. You look you were. I think you were like skipping high school or something like that.
Yeah, towards the end, I was skipping a lot for Smash.
Hey, stay in school. We don't.
Yeah,
we do not condone that. No,
I wouldn't recommend it. it's crazy. B like cleaned up my trophy case and sent it to me, and it was very. That was a big like, you know, just perspective thing. Yeah. So I posted that. I felt like. I was telling her, I was like, I want to say something more official that it isn't like that, like I am stopping and like letting people know. And I thought that was, I was like, I can't think of any words. She's like, it's all right. You don't really have to say anything specific. So I just posted the trophy case and it's like, yeah, thanks. That's pretty much it. I wasn't sure about the podcast and streaming, but now that I'm home, like I'm comfortable with, I would like to continue it. I'm not against like a watch party or anything. People really like those. So
whew, we're still in it, boys.
We're employed, guys. All right.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah, I really appreciate, because when I got into this game, like I didn't really know what I was doing with my life. I kind of just got into it. Things happened really fast. I was really into like the art aspect of it, combo videos, and there's a lot of people that just made cool stuff. And I was really young and I wanted to do the same. And it kind of translated into being like a really fierce competitor in my own weird way. And yeah, just time flies by. I did a lot of crazy stuff and I don't even know what to say. Just thank you very much. I don't think I'm done permanently.
Bro, you're not done.
You better not be, you motherfucker. What the heck?
I want to play really? The next game like really badly.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping it lines up like well with when I feel like I'm ready again. I'm hoping it just works out naturally. I would like to do a lot of stuff that I haven't had the time and energy for while I was actively traveling and competing. I'm just hoping it all kind of works out. I don't know how soon or how late the next game will happen. I'm 27 now, so I don't know how long I'll be competing.
Don't ever say your age ever again.
I'm about to turn into one of those. You might do it too. Turn into one of those Japanese salarymen. Like, show up at some events. Yeah. Like, it just depends on what your goals are, yeah, man. Like, if you're sitting,
it's time here, for me to put the fries in the bag, bro.
Yeah, like if you want to play the next game because you love the game and you love competing, which, well, at least you love competing, that much is known to be true. But I don't know, yeah, if you'll love the next game. Like, you don't have to want to be the best player in the world, even though it's like hard to break that, like hard to break that feeling. You it could just be something that you do because you enjoy it, and there's nothing, yeah, wrong with that.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, like, I'm hoping to have a lot of time to figure stuff out, work on some things I never got a chance to. Yeah, the last couple streams have been really nice. A lot of supportive people, a lot of chill vibes. I did play a little Smash. I played like one time since I got home. Yeah, I also am just looking forward to supporting the people close to me that are still playing. And I'm really, really looking forward to Bonanza. I really want to speedrun that game. I really want to see like what I'm capable of trying to like do something like that. We'll see.
Lock in.
Yeah, so expect a lot of streams.
Hey, the next kind of journey thing. Announced you did, Bonanza speedrunning.
You, yeah, did lock in for Super Mario RPG speedrunning, so if you like a game enough, you're definitely capable of... It fits into your wheelhouse, too, I feel like. There's so much specific niche tech in speedruns, yeah, and if you like the game enough, I feel like... You did well in Super Mario RPG, so...
Yeah, define well.
Well, but enough.
I didn't take it that seriously.
I mean, if you like Mario Kart enough, too, you could stream Mario Kart. I don't know if that's a game you would rather not stream or not, but I know you want to play it.
I think everyone will stream it at least once or twice.
The Mario Kart crash outs would be hilarious.
Oh, I'm definitely crashing out.
Yeah, yeah. That's tough.
Charles be crashing out on that game, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't play Mario Kart.
Yeah.
I don't rage when I play video games.
You raged at me in Mario Tennis, bro.
I remember that. Get the fuck out of the way. That was good. You were in the way, though, to be fair.
I was trolling the shit out of him, yeah. yeah, we're almost at episode 200. I don't know what we'll be doing when we get there, but thank you for supporting everything over the years. Yeah, I don't know how to end this. Can someone help?
You got it, Gav. Thanks for that.
GG's.
You did great, man. Yeah, of course. Too much to thank you for, I think, between the three of us and all the viewers and everything. Thanks, everyone. And really happy the show is going to continue. So we'll be back next week, probably, as long as everyone's here. And I'm excited, Gav, because maybe we can go to an event and just hang out where you don't need to be in competitor mode. I have my eyes on Kagaribi in the fall. That's all.
I thought we were talking about SmashCon.
Another 30-hour trip.
Just got back, I know. I'm just maybe out there in the universe. That's all I'm doing.
Maybe when we're closer, it'll be more appetizing.
Or we go to Universal in Florida and check out the Donkey Kong area. Oh,
that's also a great idea.
That's a trip.
But now, what you're going to see, Gav, your weekends open up so much when there's not Smash every weekend.
Ooh,
we could just do other things.
Yeah, the last couple
competing
days,
in Yu-Gi-Oh?
I think so, but I'm not positive. I'm like wishy-washy on it right now.
Okay.
I still really love it. I think the meta right now is kind of whack, though.
It's not always.
Modern is
but like I don't like this one.
I see. Oh, well, I get it. Actually.
I don't want to participate in the whackness. I usually just participate.
Yes.
I don't want to be a part. But yeah, the last few days have been weird.
What was the random Yu-Gi-Oh player you met at Level Up? Remember? You of top modern Yu-Gi-Oh player? I like sent you the picture and you're like, oh yeah, it's this person.
Oh yeah, we met Triff.
Triff, there we go.
I'm a fan like that? Of
yeah, you're a fan.
A
you
lot of
you
his
were
content and stuff.
You're he, geeking out me, when I sent you the picture.
He's helped me get a lot better at Yu-Gi-Oh, and he's really good. So
nice.
Nice. Yeah, I forget what I was gonna say. Oh, so I do this thing where when I'm finishing a tournament or not in tournament, I like think super far ahead to like what I'm gonna do in game and in brackets and against all these players, and I keep doing that even though I'm not gonna play, and it's been very difficult. Like, even after Kulon, I was like, oh, if I play this player, like Anin or Sonics, I'm going to do this and that, and, like, that's how I'm going to win next time. And I was like, wait, why am I doing this?
GGs.
It's been really weird. Like, the last few days, like, I have a lot of extra downtime where I'm, like, don't know what to do with myself. I keep bothering Haz to, like, hang it out, and I feel bad.
Bro, I'm working.
but, yeah, I mean, I'm doing a lot of extra like exercise and reading and just being like an old man. I don't know. But I'm sure I'll figure out where to fill the void because it's been a little weird already.
Are you going to continue coaching on Metafy? Because I think coaching is something that you enjoy doing. And I don't know if you want to.
I wasn't sure, kind of like the rest of everything. I wasn't sure. But for now, it is open. I do have a couple things already lined up. So if anyone is interested, if you want to improve at Smash, I'm still open to doing Metafy. I'm pretty proud of my coaching abilities. I've done like hundreds and hundreds of lessons over the years. So if anyone is interested, I am available. I do already have a thing lined up over the next like week and a half. So
and you've got more time now. So hey,
for now it is open. Yeah, the coaching is still open. I don't know how long that will be the case, but it is still open for now.
Yeah, I'm glad it as someone who's coached you, seeing you enjoy coaching and being as good as you are, it's very refreshing.
Yeah, I didn't expect to like it, but
that is cool to hear. And you're also talking to three guys who went through a pretty similar process and trying to figure out how to fit Smash into your life in a different way. So obviously, you know, you've already been talking to, I assume, all of us about this, but yeah, just it's still great. Like, it's still like the best thing. Smash is still the best thing ever. It's just how. Where does it fit now? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
It is.
You're officially a Smash Unk.
I don't care.
It's up there.
Smash Unk, baby.
Exactly. Depends well, relatively, the... Marcus. That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm like, Pokemon's better. But
that's another thing, too. I kind of want to clarify that because I think a lot of people are like speaking for me. They'll be like, oh my gosh, we didn't ban Steve and now Tweak is quitting.
Oh,
true. Yes, that's right. Yes, that's what Charles said on the podcast. That's why.
No, I did not say that. All the hate comments are coming at me.
I'm just kidding, Chad.
The state of the game has nothing to do with it. Maybe like very little. Like less than 1%. Like I've been talking about stopping for like 2 or 3 years. So something like that. Maybe 2. I don't know. It's been a while of considering it. It's not the game. It's all personal, private. It's all me. I don't hate Steve players. Like, I don't want to quit because of a certain character or like the meta. Like, I might not like, you know, it's just not that. It's not. So it is upsetting when people are like, oh, like Tweak is quitting because X player plays a certain way, or like Steve, like I'm a competitor and like I'm not like that. Like I'm not
like I've been that.
It's never been that. So yeah, it's offensive because it's not only is it like putting words in my mouth, it's also like, do you think I'm like that much of like a simple-minded human that I'm like quitting my whole job because of Steve Minecraft? Like, are you serious? Like, there's more depth to my human than that. So yeah, I guess that about wraps it up. This is probably a long episode. We will be working on Patreon content. We're recording this on Monday, so we still have time to figure out what our bonus content is.
And I uploaded some previous Patreon content from 2023.
Yeah. When I watched that. Yeah, it is crazy how it's 2025 now. A lot was added to that trophy case.
Yeah.
Between 2023. Hey, we might have to do another one.
Bro. Yeah, yeah, maybe a final trophy case video, because we did one in 2023. Yeah.
Not a lot, but enough to make it look significantly different.
That you know what I'll do for you, Gavin? I'll let you borrow my Smashy for that video. Put it in the trophy case.
Oh, put it on the trophy. Nice. Yep. Nice.
Right next to, you know, whatever your favorite trophies are, put it in there somewhere.
I need to decide what my favorite trophy even is. I don't know. You know, okay. Before we go, I'm going to admit something very embarrassing.
Yes. Excellent.
So I've had a lot of ups and downs mentally throughout Smash, a lot of low points. And a long time ago, I won a MomoCon for Smash 4. And it was a big trophy, huge trophy, with like a GameCube controller on top of it. In the low point in my life, I broke that trophy in a fit of rage. And I want to apologize, and that trophy case would have been so much cooler if I still had that trophy. Yeah.
Let's talk to PB this weekend, Charles, see if we can get him a new one.
No.
Get up, PBs.
Yeah, a replacement.
Yeah, you don't deserve, by the way.
There's a really cool picture of me with that trophy that my parents really liked at the time, so at least I still have that. But
yeah,
picture,
yeah.
Yeah, I was such a dumbass. Holy shit.
Hey.
It's part of growing up, man. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Teenager Gavin, whatever.
We've all been there.
Yeah, I mean, we've been going on for a while, but next week I would like us to talk about maybe some of our favorite moments of Gavin's career and stuff like that. But I do think this episode has been quite a bit, so we'll just go over it next week.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Could just be the Patreon content.
Have a good one.
We could do it next week as well.
See you. Bye.